Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord. Oh, goodness gracious alive. You know, when you read Psalm 91, you think about how awesome that psalm is. And all the different things we can do. Let me just tell you something here. Of course, you're all getting shaking hands and everything, and I'm grateful that everybody loves everybody here, and we want that to continue. Because love is what makes the Word of God work.
Amen.
If you don't walk in love, it don't work. But I will have to say one thing. Today, if we get to it, we're going to get to some scripture in the book of Luke. And I'm going to tell you, if you take this book and you do what this book says and you pray. Now, I don't care who you are. If you're a son or daughter of God. If you take these promises, and if you pray, I mean, if you pray at all, you're going to have testimonies.
Amen.
They're going to happen because God's going to answer your prayer. Now, to give you an idea, I'm going to back off out here about 100 yards and let Cheryl read just a few of the testimonies we had this last week. Now, just think, me and her, she and I or whatever, I'm not the best English major, that's for sure, but that's okay. Y'all just have to put up with me. I speak Texas English, and so country boy Texas English.
Jesus still loves you.
I had a man that told me one time, I went to speak at one of his conferences, and he told me, he said, Thurman, if I could just get you fine-tuned where you could speak English real good, said you could really be a great speaker. I told him, I said, well, I'm sure glad that God likes my speaking.
Praise the Lord.
Especially for those of you that have been healed and delivered. Jesus takes the crazy things of the world to confound the world. When he put it, they say, that old boy, that old country boy, and he can't even speak right or nothing else. But when he lays hands on people and prays for them, what happens? God heals them, and so we love it. Praise the Lord. So now, this is just a few of the testimonies this week that we got. And sometimes we're there at Cheryl's computer in her office at night at 10. When all the rest of y'all are out there sleeping, doing nothing, me and Cheryl is praying over people. Now, if you want to see testimonies and have praise reports, you got to do something. You know, I mean, Jesus made you sinless and all that stuff. He done all those things. But if you just hang in there and don't do nothing, if you don't go out and do something for the kingdom, you won't never see an answer to prayer.
Amen.
You got to do something. I mean, you have to do something to be able to see God answer your prayer. If you don't pray, and when you pray, you got only not only got to do something, you got to do it in faith.
Amen.
I mean, real faith. And so, this is just a few of the wonderful testimonies and just of all kinds. Just listen closely as Cheryl reads to you some of the things that God has answered mine in her prayers. And some of these were laying in the bed at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
You know, some of them, but anyway, he's awesome. Go ahead, honey.
He is awesome. All right, last Sunday, the 20th, we had a dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl. Please pray for my daughter, Lucia, as her job ends June the 2nd. She's applied in the same company, Whole Foods, for another job opening and a position that's available. She hears back from them on Monday the 21st. Please pray she gets a job somewhere. Thank you, Pastor and Cheryl, for all you do. We love you. I will be tuning in today from New York to hear your service. Love, Francine. So on the 21st, we wrote back, we prayed, it's done. Praise the Lord. She wrote back on the 24th. Dear Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, thank you so much for your prayer. My daughter called me yesterday and tells me she got the position in Whole Foods and is now, yes, Lord, and is now making $10,000 more than her previous salary. Praise God. God is so good. Thank you for having such a great faith. We love you so much. Love, Francine.
Now, see, I'm telling you, you can't pray in faith without getting praise reports.
That's right.
And this girl is pleased, especially since she's getting 10 grand more of a year. She loves it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Dear Thurman and all the staff at TLSM, several months ago, the Lord Jesus led me to your story on YouTube on It's Supernatural. I had never seen anyone with your level of faith, and I was intrigued. I saw you on YouTube right below the video I'd been watching that you had teachings, and I began to listen to you for several weeks. I no longer could contain my enthusiasm over your preaching, and one by one began to share your messages with the members of our home church called The Church. This little home church of about 35 people has fallen in love with your teachings. We had members that Satan had really gotten a hold of them, and they were angry at us for telling them the truth. I shared one sermon with the wife, and she was hooked on your teachings, and soon after they returned to church and brought back the rest of their family they had drawn away. I would love to tell you each family story and what your teaching did for them personally, but I'm sure you don't have time to read it all. I'll just say that every family that accepted your teaching has exploded spiritually. The one family who rejected your teaching and felt you handled the word incorrectly was divorced, and he went to homosexuality within a few weeks of rejecting your teachings. The one really exciting thing about our people listening to you is that we have a church full of young couples with small children, or they're just having children. Oh, the blessings of our Lord to let us find you and teach these young people the truth of God's word so early. This is the delight of my heart. They're becoming loving husbands, obedient wives, good parents, and on fire for Jesus Christians. They believe in no sin. Praise Jesus. We came to your healing school in March, and we hauled home a load of CDs and DVDs. We passed them around the church, and many listened to you online. We call them Thurman sermons. And they say, we have been Thurmanized when a new truth you teach sinks into our hearts. When we were at the healing school in March, I videoed you telling my girls hello. They are 9 and 10. You are their favorite preacher. They will listen to you in the car for hours. Wow. My plans are to get back to Texas so they can meet you in person. I wish we lived closer. There's still so much we don't understand and know, but we all keep listening, reading the word, and praying. Blessings, Gail.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, TLSM. My husband told me I need to send you this praise report to add it to your list of testimonies. About 15 years ago, God brought Thurman Scribner into my life. I would be changed forever. Hallelujah. It hasn't been easy, but nothing worth having ever is, right? My husband and I have been married for 26 and a half years. This is my second marriage. 2 years after we married and ever since, I began experiencing horrible pain during and after intercourse. The pain has been unbearable and excruciating. We have sought out doctors, medicines, natural cures, etc. to no avail. Needless to say, it's been very hard to deal with over the years. He and I even attended one or two healing schools several years back, hoping to get a healing. Almost 10 years ago, the Lord began dealing with me about submission, and it has been going on ever since. It's not easy to change lifelong habits, but the Lord is patient. Our journey's been one that not many people are willing to travel. We've walked away from family and friends and houses and riches chasing after Him. It's all been part of a process that He has had us on to clean us up. The main thing, change the order of our home. When we got married, I had 3 children. I was unwilling to lay down the reins, and my husband tried fighting me on it, but after a few years, he gave up. Father knew we would stay together through the thick and thin, no matter how ugly it got. And there have been some pretty ugly times. This testimony could go on and on, so I'm giving the condensed version. A few weeks ago, we had both come to a place of just sitting still before the Lord. He told me he was not getting up until he heard from God. I went in the bedroom and began praying also. I believe I heard the Lord say, tell him he needs to repent for every time he has ever hearkened to your voice. Why don't you tell him?
Listen to that. Really, you men and women, pay attention. Now, really, this is a really important testimony about this. It's totally backwards in what's supposed to be done, but just listen.
So the wife says, I believe I heard the Lord say, tell him, the husband, he needs to repent for every time he has ever hearkened to your voice. Why don't you tell him, I ask? He said, he listens to you, was his reply. I had decided I was not going to say a word to my husband until he said something to me. He came in the bedroom a few minutes later and said, have you heard anything? I then told him what I thought the Lord might have said. Immediately, my husband prayed and asked forgiveness for every time he had heeded my voice rather than listening to God's. I also repented and asked for forgiveness for every time I had told my husband what to do, how I had made decisions for our family, and even for myself without asking him. Well, Nothing happened immediately, but we had faith that something had taken place. After three nights later, for the first time in 24 years, I experienced pain-free intimacy with my husband, and that pain has not returned. The other thing...
Yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
The other thing that has happened is that my husband is quicker to listen and believe when he hears the Lord speaking to him. He's made major decisions and stepped up in areas that he never did before. I've begun to lay down the reins. That one is not happening as fast, but as my husband steps up in these new ways, it makes me stronger to lay them down. How faithful our Heavenly Father is. He is a just and loving God to those who diligently seek him. Thank you for your ministry that has impacted us and millions over. Praise be to God. Diane.
Isn't that awesome? Just more than likely, any of you could stop and think about, if you just look into your own life, knowing that you yield to the wife lots of times because she just, you know, they won't give up. They just keep on going. They're gonna keep on until they get their answer.
No, it's called get your way.
Not the answer. Get your way.
Oh, get your way. Okay.
Yeah. All right. This one is it's a praise report, but I wanted to share it because it was interesting how this was used last night when somebody needed this. So it's funny how God does what he does. Thanks, love you all. I've been giving out Belief Versus Doubt. It's an amazing CD. I've listened 3 times since last week. What I really liked about it was the story of the lady and man who, when the lady was like 50-something, her husband prayed and she got a baby, even though she'd stopped her cycle around 45, and the baby was totally normal. And I liked hearing about the 2 separate people cured of autism, and that was who we had a letter, an email from last night, was about autism. And I liked the story about a guy who was, when he was 80-ish, one of the younger men asking, when is a person too old to enjoy sex with his wife? He told the guy he didn't know. And the guy asked him a second time, and he said, I don't know. I still enjoy it with my wife. Another story I like was a Christian lady who got pregnant in her 50s, and even some of her Christian friends said have an abortion. But she said, kill a baby? No way. I'm going to have this baby, and even if it's Down syndrome or something wrong with it, I'm going to love it and care for it. And at 2, he was not normal. And at 4, he definitely was not normal. And when he was 14 and graduated from Harvard, he really wasn't normal. And when he was 18 and started his own law firm, he was really supernatural. Another story, though, it's not on this CD that I love, is about the... I misunderstood that. Another story, though, it's not on this CD. You need to tell me where it is so I can write it down on my report, that I love, is about the lady who got put in the wheelchair from her sin of getting together once a month with the meter man after her husband died. And even though she was fairly young, wasn't she 60?
About 60.
She lost her strength and ended up in a wheelchair, and she was there 2 years till she met Thurman, and she repented and got out of the wheelchair, and she said she's never going back to that sin. Well, I love all the stories. Jewel, the 97-year-old woman that comes here, always comments on how beautiful Cheryl's skin is and how beautiful she is, like a fashion beauty. She works in fashion at Stein Mart, so she would know. She said, Cheryl has the loveliest skin, and I shared how you got Thurman to pray for it anytime it ever had a blemish, no matter, and you just all prayed it away. She says, Cheryl's so precious, and she just loves Thurman because he reminds her of the kind of preaching she had as a child. She's going on a trip this weekend. Depending on what she goes on with all the people I take to church and home, I'm not sure I'll make it out there Sunday, but you are here. I sure hope to, though. You all really have an amazing spirit in the land and people there. Praise report is that I prayed several times to overcome TV addiction with Kim and Scott. And last week on Monday, I got rid of the final TV in my home. I found it was making me passive and slowly indoctrinating me into allowing different types of sin and wrongdoing to be laughed at me. Since I've gotten rid of it, I've been spending much more time witnessing, doing ministry, and reading the Bible. This addictive albatross has been lifted from my life, and I never want it to go back to it, and it's vomit again. The story that I really, really love is from Appreciate Your Mate. where the assignment is for the lady to go home and give her husband a kiss and make him his favorite meal and to tell him how much she appreciates him for all the provision and how well he's always provided for her and how that sparks the man to life. So amazing how a relationship can change. I'd like to hear more stories about people who have seen miracles of getting people and especially family members saved. I remember the story of Cheryl's dad. And I've read the book, How to Save Someone and Pray. I'd like to hear stories of people freed from cults. It will be great when my family finally surrenders to the living Savior and comes out of the cult, and others out of pride and self-sufficiency and the worship of self. Standing more and more firm, thanks for all you do. Wendy.
Is that all of them? Oh, that's not.
I have two.
Oh, I have two more. Okay. Two more. Praise the Lord. Wow. You see what I mean? Wow. If you pray, you're going to have praise reports.
Okay. This man's from Portuguese. He says, praise the Lord to Pastor Thurman. Sorry for my inglés. I'm Portuguese. About 2 years ago, I listened to Pastor Thurman on Sid Ross' program. I listened to many other pastors, but the only one that changed my life, Pastor Thurman, is the only one that changed my life forever. I wish I knew Pastor Thurman early. I have so many things to say to you, but I cannot find the words. Only with the help of God, I find the words to describe how happy I am and how much my life changed thanks to Pastor Thurman. Thank you to your family and your ministries for changing my life forever. I have to tell you what happened to my dog. This happened before I listened to you on YouTube. Pray to Jesus to heal the dog with the split leg. My dog started to appear in the corner of my eye, a small ball of flesh. We left for some time to see if it disappeared, but not disappear, but it grew more. We took the dog to the vet who said that only with operation, nothing else will do. My partner marked appointment for operation for the next day. When I got home, she's telling me all this. I said, cancel the operation without telling her what I was going to do because she doesn't believe much, and I wait for her to leave the room, and I pray for my dog. I said, God, you said if we have pray in faith, we can ask for anything you give to me. So I said, God, in Jesus' name, to heal my dog. Then I went to the couch for not to be distracted with any negativity, and I fell asleep. The next day, 6 a.m., I was going to work. She called me if I wanted to see the dog, and I did not even remember I had prayed for the dog the day before. My dog was healed. I was so happy. I went to work this day. It was the longest day of my life. I wanted to be home with my dog because Jesus was in my house. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am so happy. I try to read the Bible, and I give up a few times. I did not understand, so I give up. Pastor Thurman, when I start listening to your videos and you start to read this description, I start following you, and I quick start to understand the Bible. Today, I can read the Bible no problem, thanks to you. Pastor Thurman, God bless you, and thank you for teaching me how to read the Bible and understand the Word of God. My life has changed so much. I can talk about God and Jesus all day long. I cannot find words for so much happiness. My family, my friends do not believe. It's very sad. It breaks my heart. So, Pastor Thurman, I live with a partner for almost 12 years. We don't have kids, and we're not married either. About a year ago, I stopped for about 3 months without any sex, and I decided to start again. This time, about 8 months after so now he stopped for 2 months. I have no intention to start again. I am too scared, and I fear. In the Word of God, I can have sex if I'm married. My problem, I've been married before. My partner's never been married. How can I get married? If I ask a priest to marry us, he's going to ask if we've been married before, and I have to say yes. I am born Catholic in Catholic Church. No one's going to marry us because I've been married before. Pastor Thurman, what should I do? Can you marry us over the phone? I ask God in Jesus' name to forgive me for divorcing my wife. I ask God to forgive my sins, those I know and those I don't know. I accept Jesus in my life. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I confess and repent for my sins. I open the door of my life and receive you as my Savior, Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and giving eternal life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be as I become one of your followers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Thurman. I hope you understand my broken English. Norberto.
Praise the Lord. Wow.
So he healed his dog, and he wanted him to marry him, and he told him how to get married. So that's going to work out. Okay, this is the last one. This was on the Topeka Capital Journal newspaper. And there was a picture of Bill Wagner with two policemen from Gainesville there. And the heading said, Prayer Card Project continues to expand in Kansas and beyond. American flags will be out in force this Memorial Day weekend in tribute to the military men and women who have served the nation through the years. But for Bill Wagner, an 86-year-old man from Bedford, Texas, honoring members of the military isn't relegated to a special day once a year. In fact, Wagner doesn't limit his gratitude only to those in the military, but extends his appreciation to police, firefighters, emergency medical technicians, and all the others who put their lives on the line for their fellow citizens 24/7, 365. Speaking by phone recently from his home in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, Wagner made it clear he wasn't letting his age slow him down as he pursues his mission of putting laminated prayer cards in the hands of public servants who willingly put themselves in harm's way for the greater good. If anything, Wagner says, he's just getting started, even as he approaches his 87th birthday in July. A couple of years ago, Wagner launched what has come to be known as the Psalm 91 Heroes Project. Through the project, Wagner's placed laminated cards with the entirety of Psalm 91 on one side and a short narrative on the other, giving an account of how God has used the psalm to protect people in the middle of a war or other dangerous situations. A Topeka man, Vern Dow, who is also in his 80s, is Wagner's point man in Kansas. Dow, who met Wagner years ago through the geology work that both were involved in, has passed out thousands of the prayer cards to public servants in Topeka and Shawnee County. Wagner said the laminated cards change every so often and feature different stories on the way God has protected those who've prayed Psalm 91 in the middle of dangerous situations. We've had a couple or three narratives that we've changed, different stories about events that have happened, particularly involving military people. To date, some 30,000 cards have been distributed, many of them in Kansas, Texas, and Pennsylvania. The newest cards will include Romans 13, 1-4, after Wagner's good friend, Robert Corser, retired pastor of Irving Four Square Church in Irving, told him about the verses. Wagner said he spent 3 days meditating and reading the verses, and on the fourth day, it all came to me that I was to put the four verses on the narrative side of the card. He said the passage applies to a lot more people than I thought it applied to, so I listed the different people and groups. Wagner said he was having an initial run of 25,000 cards printed. If that sounds like a lot, remember, they do things big down in Texas. I know God's in it, Wagner said, and I know he's given me this impression to go ahead with this narrative the way it is. So I'm more excited about this final version because I think this will apply to more people and more places. Wagner said he believes we're in the end of the end times and wants to get the cards into as many hands as possible so people can stand on this prayer. There's no cost to receive the cards, though Wagner said donations are welcome to cover the cost of printing and postage. People are writing in and requesting the cards. They ask how much they cost. I said, we don't sell them, but we do appreciate donations. But we haven't had to ask for any money. It's just been people wanting to get in behind this ministry. So for more information, please visit www.psalm91heroes.org.
Wow. You see what I mean? Oh, we have a testimony?
Who has a testimony? In the back?
Whoever's got the testimony?
Young lady.
Come on up. Okay, praise the Lord.
Hello.
Tell us what's your name and tell us what happened.
My name's Diana, and I was here last weekend, and you prayed over me. I've had a lot of chronic illnesses, and I was due for surgery on Friday for a heart problem. I went in, they checked my heart. I was there for four somewhat hours, and they said there was nothing wrong with it. I didn't have to...
Jesus is still in the healing business, isn't he?
Thank you.
Oh, goodness gracious. Praise the Lord. Wow, we're so grateful. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Is there somebody else? Somebody else? If you got another one, if somebody's got another testimony, we don't want to cut it short. I mean, I love to listen to what Jesus is doing, don't you?
Yeah. Amen.
Wow, I think about how awful it was that I spent 60-something years in a church and never saw a testimony. And then I decided one day out of the wild blue, I decided I'm going to believe this book.
Amen.
I mean, if this book says it, I believe it. I mean, even the wild things that sounds like it's so far out that you couldn't possibly be true, I still believe that those things work.
Amen.
And healing the sick and everything else, Jesus told us to go out and heal the sick. I never saw a person healed, never prayed for anybody to get healed, didn't dream they could, until I finally decided to take the book at face value. If the book says what Matthew 18:19 says is true. In fact, I want us to put Matthew 18:19 on the board, and I want you to look at it, and I want you to see what that says. And then I want you to see what you think you could do with that if it was really true. Because we have a school teacher up here on the front row that at first she said, in fact, her and her husband were Catholics, like this other boy a while ago, Cheryl read about it. He was a Catholic, too, about getting married. But she says, you know, if this scripture were true, Matthew 18:19, now look at it. Look at Matthew 18:19.
Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Now that little lady that was just up here, just two of her and somebody agreed in prayer.
We prayed for her.
Okay, yeah. Well, what did Jesus say he would do? Whatever we ask him for. So when Kim up here, you know, when years ago, several years, 10 or 15 years ago at least, when they first started coming to my church, she had a problem with her back. And just to prove how good God is, she wouldn't even come up for prayer. I mean, that Sunday, she would not. She said, now, I've never been to one of these wild places, you know, where they do this. I'm afraid if I go up there, somebody will push me down, and I'll have to fall down. So she says, I ain't going up there. Is that right, Kim?
That's exactly right.
She said, I ain't going up there. And so she sat back there in her chair, her and her husband, and they just observed to see what was going on and how easy it was to just reach over and touch somebody and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. And no, nobody fell down. Nobody fell down. Nobody ran backwards. You know, nobody screamed. Nothing crazy happened. So after all this was over, she said, well, gee, there was nothing crazy about none of that. And she went to get up, and for the first time in 10 or 15 years, she thought, I have no back pain.
Hallelujah.
And that's been at least 10 or 15 years, and you've still never had a back pain.
No.
Scott, and since then, as the leader of the home, you and your wife and your three children, there is no telling how many people you two have prayed for, is there?
I can't remember them all.
Oh, of course not. You know, I mean, you test. Like I say, you can't know Jesus and believe His word and not have praise reports. I mean, this list of praise reports, when Cheryl read that one to me the other night about the woman that had the three kids when she married this man, and. I mean, have y'all ever seen a dictator wife? Maybe you've been one of them. I don't know. Maybe you still are one of them. But so, sometimes the man, he will just give up because the woman is so persistent. When he tells the wife, no, I don't want to do that, that should be it. It should be over, you know, and done. But some women, they don't see it like that. And they're going to continue to do what they want to do until they break you down. And that's exactly what this woman did to this man. He yielded to this wife over and over and over. And then when they begin to hear my teaching on husbands and wives, that's not what I teach. I teach that the wife must be submissive to the husband. Because why do I do that, Kim?
Because that's what God says.
That's what God said, wasn't it? In other words, that wasn't something I come up with,
it? No, sir. No, sir.
No, that was a God thing.
That's right.
And so you were one of those hard-nosed women.
Yes, I was. I was a feminazi.
But being a Christian, when you found out the truth, you said, well, I got to change.
That's right.
Because Thurman's not saying this. God's saying this.
It's in the book.
And it's in the book. And so, yeah, it's in the book. And so... as she listened and she repented and they changed, God started answering their prayer. And it was amazing. But just like this woman, when she really got that message from the Lord, I thought how awesome this is that this woman was given a little something to tell her husband that he needs to repent for you listening to her instead of God. Who would have ever dreamed of repenting? Or who would have ever dreamed that you not doing what the Word of God says could cause such a tremendous problem with your sexual relations with your husband, your mate? Husbands and wives, I mean, when people think about this, husbands and wives were made to have sex with each other. That's the way God made it. You know, there's not anything wrong with sex between a husband and a wife that's married and married to each other. You know, so when you think about this, whenever that boy, when that man, whenever the Lord revealed to him, he needed to repent for yielding to his wife. You know, I know a man that cost him his life. This man was a youth leader in a church, and he was 55 years old. Now, let me tell you, that ain't old. I was 55 at the same time. He and I went to high school together. I knew him real well. But at 55, he died at 55. Well, whenever I went to, actually before he died, I heard he had brain tumors. And so I went down to where he lived, and I went to the hospital in Brownwood, Texas. And I went in and I looked at him laying there, and I can tell you, here he is 55 years old. He looks like he's 95. I mean, his old, scraggly, white hair, he looked awful. I mean, he would easily have passed for 95 or 105. I mean, he was terrible. I asked the doctor, I said, well, what's the chances he's going to make it? And he said, well, we're going to send him to San Antonio to a specialist. But he said, as far as we're concerned here in Brownwood, we can't fix it. He's got brain tumors, big ones. So they sent him down there, and the doctor took the top of his head off. That doesn't even impress me to think about them saw cutting a cap off and taking it off and look in there in my brain. But when they looked at it, he had this terrible, terrible tumors. I mean, giant tumors, hundreds of them maybe. The doctor said, when he looked in there, he said, well, I'll take some of the big ones out. But these were the doctor's words. Unless God intervene, this man's going to die. Now, what this doctor didn't know, that God had already intervened because of sin. See, people don't understand this, you know, just like this man. But whenever he got the idea of what to happen, what needed to be done, when he says, Lord, I repent for yielding to my wife. I repent for listening to her instead of you. And the Lord forgave him. And you notice 3 days later, their sexual problem was gone.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Now, from that day to this, there's been no pain in their sexual relation.
Amen.
But before that, she was in excruciating pain trying to have sex with her husband. So anyway, this man that I went to see, when they sewed him back up, sent him to the rest home, to die. There was nothing could do. And so, of course, by that time, at 55, I'll be 80 my next birthday, but I was 55 at that time, so that's been several years ago, but I had learned a lot about healing. So I went to see him. I was still working down at the airport. And I took a day off, and I drove down to the place where he lived. And I went in, and when I walked in, I looked and I saw a woman. I said, who are you? And she said, I'm his wife. I said, oh, I knew he'd been married twice before. Are you number three? She said, yes, I'm number three. I said, well, he's a fine man. I said, he was a Sunday school teacher. He was a deacon. I mean, an elder in the church. Whenever I went down there and I met this woman, I asked her, I said, well, I said, yeah, he's a good man. I said, where do you all go to church? And she said, the First Baptist Church. And I said, how many times have you been? Oh, she said, about five or six. I said, five or six? I said, this is the middle of the year. I said, you mean to tell me that y'all have only been to church 5 or 6 times this year? And she says, no, Thurman. I don't believe you have to go to church to serve God. So I told my husband, I don't want to go to church. We'll just watch it on TV. And so we haven't been to church but 5 or 6 times since we've been married, and we've been married 10 years. Now, does that sound like disobeying God? When God says, go to church? What do you think he meant when he said, in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together on a regular basis as a man or some are, so that you may see that the day of the Lord is approaching.
Go to church.
So anyway, I said, wow. I said, that's not what it means, young lady. I said, you're supposed to be in church. You see, I don't agree with that. Now, this is a rebellious woman. She's a rebellious woman. This rebellion is as witchcraft, the scripture says. So I told her, I said, ma'am, you need to be in church. And she said, no, I don't believe that. We don't go to church but 5 or 6 times in the last 10 years because, you see, I don't believe you have to go to church to serve God. I said, well, okay. So I quit talking to her and I started talking to him. And so for the next 4 or 5 hours, I talked to him. Never did. Finally, at the end of the day, I finally looked him in the eye and I said, sir, do you know who I am? Because he hadn't said a word all day long, not a word. He turned and looked at me and he said, you're Thurman Scrivener. I said, praise God, you're going to get healed. Because I'd prayed over him, I'd anointed him with all I'd done, everything I knew to do that the Lord says do to get people healed. And I thought, you know, when you do what he says, you think they're going to get well, right? I plan on them getting well. I pray over everybody expecting them to get well. That's exactly because the word says when I pray, I must believe with no doubt in my heart or it ain't going to work anyway. So I've tried to do everything his way. So anyway, I left that afternoon and drove back home. Praising the Lord all the way home, 3-hour drive from where I lived, where he was. But anyway, I was praising the Lord for his healing. I just knew he was going to get healed. I knew at 55 he's going to get a new leash on life. That was on Monday. Well, on Thursday they called me and said he passed away. I said, wow, he died? So I went back down to the funeral and I watched them lay a 55-year-old man in a casket into a grave and cover him up. I thought, 55? You know, you're not supposed to die. That's not a long life. 55 is not long. That's short. So at least in my book it was, you know, because here I was 55 and I'm looking at a dead man. And I sure wasn't ready to die at 55. I had a lot of plans, a lot of things I wanted to do. And, you know, and so anyway, it was amazing how it all worked out. But anyway, on the way back home, I said, now, Lord, you said in your word, Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call unto you and you will answer me and show me great and mighty things I know not. He said, any man lacks wisdom, he needs to ask you and you promise to give it to me liberally. So Lord, I need some help here. I said, you are the one that put me in a healing business, and everybody gets healed, gets to who it is that does it.
The Lord.
Absolutely. God is the one that does it. So anyway, I believe with all my heart that he was going to heal that man. But he died. And then on the way home after the funeral, I'd ask the Lord, Lord, what happened? What went wrong? Lord, and he said, when you ask with thanksgiving. So every time I ask, I say, Lord, I need to know what went wrong. And I thank you for the answer. I try to do everything according to Scripture. And so anyway, all the way home, 3 hours, I asked, no telling how many times, every 3, 4, 5 minutes, I'd ask that question. Finally, just before I got home, he said, son, and I asked him several times, did I do something wrong? Because if I did, I don't want to be a party to doing something wrong to get somebody to die. I want you healed. I don't want you dead. And so anyway, I asked him if I'd done anything wrong. And he finally answered and he said, son, the problem was not yours. You did nothing wrong. You'll find the answer to your question in John 15:2. And I said, well, Lord, thank you. So I pulled off the side of the road because I didn't know what John 15:2 said. But John 15:2, let's see what it says. John 15:2.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Now, that's a scary verse, and the average person that I've talked to in my life does not believe it means what it says. What does that say? Every branch. Who are the branches?
We are.
We are. We all acknowledge the fact that we're branches, right? Now, in other words, whenever you get saved and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and somebody said, that's all you got to do. You don't have to do nothing. You're okay. You're going to die and go to heaven someday. So you don't have to do a single thing. But that's not true. You're supposed to be a warrior, and you're supposed to start doing something for the kingdom of God. You're supposed to start blessing people, doing things. You're supposed to be about the Lord's work. You're supposed to be leading people to Jesus. You're supposed to be helping people. You're supposed to be doing something for Jesus. Is that right?
Yes.
So what if you don't? What if you don't produce any fruit? According to that scripture, he says, every branch in me that bears no fruit. And he, had he bore fruit?
No.
In the last 10 years, had he produced any fruit?
No.
None. 10 years. So anyway, that was another one of those deals where that after he didn't bear any fruit, and so the Lord cut him off. And I said, Lord, I was dumbfounded. I said, Lord, you killed him. I mean, I would have never, ever, in the Baptist church I was raised up in, I would never, ever have believed that would mean what it says. I mean, I had read it lots of times, but I couldn't grasp the fact that if you don't do something like God tells you to do, that he will kill you. But he says he will, doesn't he? You know, you ask that question to the average Christian. Do you believe God would kill you? Oh, no, God loves me. He does love me. He loves you. But he plans for you to do something for his kingdom. And if you don't produce fruit for his kingdom, he says, I didn't say this. I would never be responsible for making such a statement. Jesus said he would kill you. Is that what he said? He would cut you off. And I looked at that a second. I'm sitting on the side of the road, and I says, God, you killed him. I mean, I was dumbfounded. I mean, I'm a Southern Baptist. I just couldn't grasp that. I says, Lord, you killed him. And then I regained my composure for about a second. I said, but Lord, it wasn't his fault. It was that woman. You know, she was the culprit. He said, son, I didn't put that woman in charge of the home. I put him in charge of the home, and he did not obey what I said. So I cut him off. Now then, all of a sudden, you begin to understand why people die. They die because they don't produce fruit. Since I've learned this, I've learned in the process of all these things in a healing ministry that Proverbs 26:2 is really real. Proverbs 26:2 makes a statement, and when you get it in your heart, let's read that. Proverbs 26:2, the curse causeless. Read it, honey. Oh, okay, Proverbs 26:2. Put it on the board.
As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come.
Okay, if you read that like I did as a Southern Baptist, I used to read that and I didn't understand what it meant. The curse causeth cannot come to rest. I thought, what does that mean? What is the curse? The curse causeth. And then one day I finally found out what the curse was. I was reading in Deuteronomy 27. And almost every word, every verse in verse 20, chapter 27, Deuteronomy, says if you do something, it will bring a curse upon you. And it's amazing the number of different things that will cause you to be cursed. One of the things that's on there is so amazing that when I learned this, If a man has sex with an animal, he's cursed. If a man has sex with his sister, he's cursed. Now think of the incest in families. I think of the people that have had sex with their sister or their brother or whatever, and they have been under a curse, and you have no idea the things that bring that curse can bring upon them. And when I learned this, and then I learned that Jesus, under the new covenant, Jesus redeemed you from the curse. Now then you can come back and claim the redemption from the curse, and you can cast them demons that are there. You can command them to leave. And now then families that can't have any children, never have had any children, those families got children and everything were great. But without Jesus, without Him, without knowing what is yours, what belongs to you, you can't get healed without knowing what's rightfully yours. You know, you got to claim these things. And when you get a hold of the fact that what Jesus did, you can claim the redemption from the curse. So this is one of the things that the way Cheryl and I pray. Whenever somebody sends us something, we have no idea what they're going to send us. And some of them don't send us very much information. You know, when you email us and everything, I would at least please send me the woman or the man's name, and maybe first and last name would be nice, you know, and give me some information. Because sometimes we have to take and go back and look at somebody else's stuff and what they did and kind of guess. And the thing about it is God's promises are always yes and amen. So every time we pray for somebody, we should get an answer. Every time. But now, if we can't get enough information together to pray over you, then we may not get you healed. But we do the best job we can of trying to figure all this information out, and then sitting there at night, either in front of Cheryl's computer or in our bedroom, me and her in bed together. She's laying there and got her pillow all pulled up there, and she's sitting up, and I'm laying there, and she's telling me, reading what's going on, and I'm trying to pray the prayer of faith for different people with the little information as I have. The more information I have to make it simple. I mean, you know, you can really get some stuff done if you got that information. Because, as you saw, this little handful of praise reports, that was just for 1 week. That wasn't for the last 10 years. That was 1 week's worth of testimonies that Cheryl and I had for you today. Just 1 week. Like I say, I went to a Baptist church, for 60 plus years of my life, and I never had a single praise report. Not one. We didn't know God done things. You know, and the reason we could ask that, the scripture says when you pray, in fact, when we pray, I want to show you what you got to believe. Now, this is why so many people don't get their answer. But when they pray for me and Cheryl to pray, when they call us, this is why we get them their prayer answered, because of this scripture right here. In James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, I want you to see what you've got to do. You have to do something. Now, most people don't know this. So most people, I'm just like, think how merciful God was. The little lady that was going to have the surgery on Friday, she still went to the doctor. She went to the doctor, and when they checked her, what'd they tell her?
No heart.
Okay, a new heart. Isn't that amazing what you can do? But I want you to see something, that this is what we don't do very well at all. James 1, 6 and 7, I want you to think about this. Now, we have asked for something. Here's what it technically should have been done. When we prayed for this woman and prayed for a new heart or whatever, then what does the scripture say, honey? Read that out.
But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed.
Okay, so if you come to me and you repent of your sin, and you need a new heart or whatever it is, and I pray in faith, asking God to give you a brand new heart, then I just automatically say, that's it. It's done. Guarantee it. You're healed. You got a brand new heart. You know how hard it is for a Christian to believe that? Do you know how hard that is? You just prayed for me a new heart, and I didn't feel nothing. You don't have to feel nothing. In fact, somebody asked me here a while back, they said, I can't imagine the number of people you've prayed for and the miracles you've seen, the healings and the heat and everything. I said, I ain't never felt nothing. I do everything by faith. I don't feel nothing. When you come up here, I don't push you down. I have never had nobody fall down. And all the thousands of people I prayed for, I never had one fall on the floor, do an upside down backflip or nothing. You know, never had. I just pray. But when I pray believing with all my heart that it's done. You see what I'm saying? Because if I doubt, well, that's scripture. How much doubt does God allow?
None.
So if there's any doubt in my mind, then it's the grace of God. Because technically speaking, when you come up and I pray for you, I say, it's done. You shouldn't even have to, if you've got your sins confessed, and you're believing that God does what he says he's going to do, and you've got your sins all confessed, when you walk out of this place, you ought to say, I was prayed for by a man of faith. He touches the hands of Jesus, and I know that I'm healed, and it's a done deal. Is that right?
Yes.
So what should I do now?
Don't go to the doctor.
Oh, Miss Jackie, you can't be serious.
Yes, I am.
Don't go back to the doctor. But you know God made Christian doctors. In other words, if I do go back to the doctor, and this little lady did, she went back to the doctor, and I'm grateful that God in his grace looked over that little flaw, because on mine and Cheryl's part, we didn't doubt. We believe that she's going to get whatever we asked for. And so because she and I, how many of us?
Two.
Because two of us agreed that she got what we prayed for. What did she get? She got a brand new heart. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You see why it's so difficult to walk in faith. Because it requires Hebrews 11:6. Oh, okay.
For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, yeah. James 1:7.
Yeah, that's the one I stopped before I got to the end. In other words, if when you pray and you don't believe that it's done, it don't matter what it appears, if you don't believe with no doubt in your heart, God says if you don't believe that, he said you're double-minded.
Yep.
He said you're unstable in all the ways you do. And he said, that man need not think he'll receive anything from me. So you see, what if it just been me and that little lady the other day whenever I prayed for her? What if I'd have prayed for her? And now then, I've got faith, and I use my faith, but now then we're going to use a prayer of agreement if we do that. And I try to make sure I don't do that whenever there's somebody that's fairly new on faith. With Cheryl, man, no problem. We can handle it. But she's a woman of faith. I mean, when she prays, she's got it. Kim and Scott, when they pray, I'm Mike and Gracie. All these people that really know the Word of God and know that God will do what he says, because all of them have experience. When you ask Mike and Gracie over there, do you believe God heals? Let me tell you what. When you see what that Lord has done for this couple, or when you say Kim and Scott, do you believe God heals? They say, absolutely, he has done this for me. And they start thinking of all the different things that they've done in the name of Jesus and the answers to prayer. And somebody says, wow, I can't believe that you had that kind of praise reports. But if you don't believe, you ain't never going to have them. Wow. Isn't that something? You must believe with no doubt. How much?
None.
Now, you can't be serious. Can you really be serious? With how much doubt?
None.
What does that equate to?
Zero.
So now you see, do you see why it's so difficult to walk in faith? People come in and they say, well, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I hear all your praise reports and I watch you on YouTube and I'm Sid Roth and all this stuff. So, boy, I want you to pray for me. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story. A woman called me and she said, I saw you on Sid Roth and you got the most faith in any human being I ever seen in my life. So my daughter has all this sickness all over her body. I know that if you'll pray for her, she'll be healed. I said, ma'am, I wish it was that simple. But I said, it's not. She said, but all you got to do is just pray in faith. I said, the thing that we miss, I'm the God that forgives all of your iniquities. And then I'm the God that heals all of your diseases. I said, so there's a curse somewhere that's come upon your daughter because of some kind of sin. And if she was born with it, it's you or you, mom or daddy. It's not her. The curse does not come to a child. The curse comes on adults, on their children. So she said, you mean to tell me you think that me or my husband done something that caused this to happen? I said, I guarantee that it's a fact. I said, I've seen too many children sick. And and every time that they're sick, it's because of the parent's sin, the husband and the wife. And so I said, I've seen it over and over and over. Okay, so we will think about sin. And I said, well, let me send you a handful of CDs. Y'all listen to them, and when you get some sin. So I sent this out, and one of the CDs said, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Oh, my gosh. That couldn't be a sin. God says, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Surely that wouldn't cause him to do what he did to my baby. I said, ma'am, he caused millions of people in the wilderness to die. He sent the death angel to kill them, to destroy them because of their grumbling and complaining. I said, he doesn't like grumbling and complaining. Well, so my husband and I, we do some of that, so we repent. So they repented of everything. After they repented of everything, they called me and said, we have researched our life and we have cleaned our life up and we got everything perfect. We now have repented of ever since, so we're ready for you to pray for our daughter. I said, okay. So I stood on the Word of God, used John 14:13-14. We prayed the prayer of faith, and she got worse. She was six, seven years old, and she got worse. I said, we didn't find the sin. They said, you believe there's a sin? I said, I know. The curse, causeless, cannot come to rest. So I said, I guarantee there's something you and your husband or both of you done that ticked God off. He didn't like it. They said, but God loves us. I said, oh, yes, ma'am, I know that. I know God loves us. He loves us, and he's a gracious and mighty God. But he will discipline us because of sin. So anyway, we messed with this little girl for a year and a half. Would you call that persistence? We tried everybody here, prayed for that little girl. We'd done everything we knew to do. Finally, I give up, and I said, that's it. I'm done. I ain't going no more. I said, you two kids are going to have to go to the Lord yourself for your own self, and you're going to have to ask him what y'all did that caused him to strike your child with this curse. And I said, when we find out, when he tells us, then you can repent, and then we can pray, and that little girl will get well. So they started, Richard, the daddy, I said, Richard, I want you to pray. You're the spiritual leader in your home. I don't want your wife praying. I want you praying for this girl. I want your wife to be with you, but I want you to be doing the praying. You're the spiritual head of the house. And so he said, I'll do it. And so he did. He prayed, and he said, how long do we pray, Thurman? I said, until you get an answer. Well, it took him 3 weeks. 3 weeks, the Lord spoke to the mother one morning and told her, it's your lying and deception to your husband that caused your child to be sick. You're lying and deception to your husband. Now, is it important what you girls tell your husband?
Oh, yeah.
Boy, when you see what So anyway, she called me and she said, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me this morning when I sat up on the side of the bed. I said, well, what did he say? And she told me, and I said, oh, that's the problem. I said, so, okay. I said, do you have any idea what that means, that lying and deception? She said, yes. She said, when I was 39, I went to my husband, which was 43, and I told him, I said, honey, before I get too old, I want one more baby. My husband said, honey, we don't need any more children. We have all the children we need, and I don't want a teenager in high school when I'm in my 60s. So he said, no more children. Now, according to God's word, who's the boss?
The husband.
The husband. What should have happened right there? No more discussion. Case closed, no more children. But she said, okay. She told her husband, okay. But she said, I lied to him. I definitely didn't obey God's word. So she said, I went along for a little while, and all of a sudden, I'm pregnant. She said, I went to my husband, said, honey, it must be God's will for us to have another baby, because I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, but I'm pregnant, so we're going to have another baby. So the husband had no idea what caused. She said, I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, but she said it didn't work. But she said, I lied. I was doing everything I could to get pregnant. She was doing everything she could do to get her pregnant. And when she got pregnant, then she tried to lie and deceive her husband. I said, well, Sally, I said, that's the problem. So I said, have you went to your husband and confessed that as sin to your husband? She said, I did. I said, did he forgive you? She said, yes, he forgave me. I said, did you go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you? She said, I did. Do we know God forgives?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? It makes no difference what we do, as long as we confess our sin, he's righteous and just to forgive our sin. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Praise God. So anyway, I said, okay, now then I can pray the prayer of faith for healing for your baby, and the Lord will heal that your little girl. I guarantee it. She said, well, Pastor, I don't want you to pray for the healing of my daughter. I said, what do you mean? She says, now that I know it was my sin that made her like this, she says she has scars all over her body. She has clawed and scratched. She has scars everywhere. I said, so what do you want? She said, you've told us that if we obey God and do what he says, he can do anything. Does he say that?
He sure
does. Do you believe he can do anything? Well, I said, I believe you can too. So I said, so what do you want? She said, I want you to ask God to give my baby a brand new coat of skin with no scars. Now, can your God do that?
Yes.
I told her, I said, I know the one that can do that. And his name is Jesus. So I prayed. I said, Lord, thank you for taking away all the scars and making this little girl beautiful and healthy in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, it's done. And in 2 weeks, that little girl was completely restored without a scar on her body. And if you hadn't seen her pictures, when you walk out that door right there, right straight across the hallway, is the pictures when she was sick, and then the ones to the left are when she was about 12. She's now about 18. But we got a letter from her mother just here a while back. She said, this was Jenna's 17th birthday, which has been maybe a year ago. She said, we just had Jenna's 17th birthday, and said her skin is beautiful as it can be without a mark on her body nowhere. Isn't that something? So when you learn the principles of the kingdom, it's a little more than just praying the prayer of faith for you. But the Lord did tell us that if we remit sin, John 20:23, as you pray for people, this is something I want you to know. John 20:23, I want you to see this scripture. Then I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that you are a son or a daughter of God?
Yes.
You're a believer in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
You really believe you're a believer in Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted or forgiven unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
Okay, do you think as a born-again, spirit-filled Christian that you can forgive sin? If you say no, then it ain't going to do no good, because the Word of God doesn't agree with you. The Word of God says, whosoever sins you remit their or forgive or remit, they're forgiven. You have the power within you as a son or a daughter of God to do the same things that Jesus did. And Jesus said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth, anybody that believes in me, not only can you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. Do you know that's in the Bible?
Yes.
Do you believe that you can do that?
Yes.
Okay, if you believe you can, then you can pray for the sick. So here's the thing you want to learn. Since you don't know what the person's sin is, and they probably don't know, because Jenna's mother and daddy, we tried for a year and a half without being able to get this little girl healed. And we tried everything, and we thought we understood every sin they committed, but we didn't. So here's the thing you want to make sure you do. If you're going to pray for the sick, when you put your hands on them, on her shoulders or on her head or wherever, first thing you want to do is say, Father, I remit this person's sin. All of them. Every sin they've ever committed, I remit them or forgive them in the name of Jesus, according to John 20:23. Now then, according to God's word, that person's just been made clean. Now then, once you pray that prayer, then you want to ask the Lord to forgive you and whoever's dealing with you to forgive your sin. And then you want to ask God to wash you and these people you're praying for in the blood. You want to make sure you're in the blood. We become perfect in being washed in the blood. After you're washed in the blood, then you want to claim the redemption from all curses. Just like Galatians 3:13-14 says, you want to claim the redemption from the curse and consider this person free of all sin and the demons. Then you want to cast out the spirits. Lots of times we forget, and if you don't cast them spirits out, they will not go away. They'll stay there. So you want to cast out those evil spirits. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name you shall cast out demons. Most of the church today, ladies and gentlemen, they just don't believe that. But it's written in God's word. And if it's written in God's word, I believe I'm on safe ground. Don't you, brother? If Jesus said it, I can't get no better source than that. So anyway, when you have done all those things, then the last step is just to put your hands on the shoulders of whoever you're saying and say, be healed. You're healed. Jesus told me to go out and cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, even raise the dead. That takes a little more faith. A little more faith. So if Jesus told us we could do all this, now once you see this, you'll understand. When you see and learn how this works, you'll understand how that when my granddaughter was technically killed 15 years ago down at Stephenville in a car wreck, they care flighted her to Cook's Medical Center. And I went down there, and her brainstem was disconnected. Her eyes were jerked out of her brain. Her skull was crushed in 5 places. Every organ in her body was damaged. Her right knee was crushed, and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And every doctor said, it's impossible, she cannot live. When we remove the life support, she will decease. Well, there happened to be a scripture in John 15:7 that's in the Bible. John 15:7. Now, if you don't know that, you need it hidden in your heart. You need the word hidden in your heart all the time, don't you? That's what you need. You need the word. So by having the word hidden in my heart, I didn't have to go look it up. I knew what it was. And John 15:7. Honey, read John 15:7.
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you.
Okay, so if I abide in him and his word abides in me, what can I ask for?
Anything.
I didn't hear that.
Anything.
A little louder?
Anything.
You're my kind of man. But that's what it says, isn't it, brother? By standing on that word, taking that promise, and standing on it. It didn't happen overnight. It took me 30 days before I was able to get her out of that. They would release her out of that hospital because they couldn't believe she was living. When they finally removed all the life support, they said, when we unplug these, she will decease and you do not want to resuscitate her. I said, I have Mark 11:23, and she's not going to die. I guarantee she's not going to die. That's when that Dr. Davis says, she said, sir, You are the only human being I have ever met in my life that absolutely refuses to accept reality. I said, ma'am, you have trained yourself with the reality of the world. I have trained myself with the reality of God's Word. And God's Word says if. You see that big word? If His Word is in me and I'm in Him, what can I ask for?
Anything.
What did He say, brother, I could ask for?
Anything. It shall be done unto you.
Ain't that something? And sure enough, we stood on the Word. They unplugged her and she didn't die. She's now 21 years old. 20 and a half. Okay. Isn't God awesome? What can He do? He's an awesome God. Okay, well, Baron, are you going to come up here and I'm going to give you, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here.
You're supposed to let him tell what he did.
Oh, okay.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
One thing I will have to say, a while ago when I asked this young man to bring my chair up so I could have it to sit down, which I haven't sat down in a single time yet so far. But anyway, when I asked him to bring that chair up there so I could sit in it, I thought, I wonder how many preachers in the world or in the United States today has a national weightlifting champion. But I got a national weightlifting champion that carried my chair up here for me to sit in today. I thought it might be a little heavy for him. But his weight, I know that one weight that he lifted was 727 pounds. That's big.
Yes,
727 pounds. Okay, tell them what you did. Praise God.
Good. First of all, I want to thank God for this journey of a year. It was an emotional journey in so many ways. I was telling a dear friend that this has been the best and worst year of my life. Last year, I broke my kneecap at Nationals. And for me to see what God has done in a year, to see what He does when you stand on His Word, going through what I went through and having the world tell you that you won't lift that weight again. You won't do that again. But see, we have a choice as believers.
Amen.
We have a choice to stand on God's Word.
Amen.
Or we believe what the world says.
Amen.
And I tell people, the devil can only get what you give him.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't give him nothing, he can't have nothing.
Amen.
And I refuse to let him have what God has placed me on this earth for. My dad said this last week to me that it's just a God-given ability for me to lift the amount of weights that I lift. But the key was, I didn't do it in Jesus' name before. Now I do it in Jesus' name. So I go there, and we can say we have the faith, but the faith is an action word. And my family couldn't understand how I broke my kneecap and then would get back under that weight. Because if Jesus say I'm healed, what else do I have to doubt for?
Amen.
What
Amen.
Do I say? If He say I'm healed, I trust Him
Amen.
More than any person or anything else.
Amen.
Because I have the trust. I tell God when I get up on that amount of weight, I say, I'm telling Him, I trust you with my life.
Amen.
I trust you with my life. So I expect for you to do what you said you're going to do. And that's protect me under Psalms 91.
Amen.
My angels to be with me while I lift that weight.
Amen.
See, I don't fight fair now. I don't fight fair now. When I lift those weights, my angels are there with me lifting those weights.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes. So, but my last squat was 727. And that was the weight I broke my kneecap on.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
See, it is not about, I was terrified under that weight. But see, I wouldn't let my fear defeat me. I trusted God. People say, weren't you nervous? Man, they have no idea how nervous I was. But I wasn't going to let my fear defeat me under that weight. I wanted to show God how much I trusted Him
Amen.
Under that weight.
Amen.
And for me, getting on the platform saying, this was my word. Thank you, Jesus. When I get on that platform, I let everybody know. I let the whole audience know. Hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of people watching, and they know who I serve. No doubt who I serve. And I did, and I told God, I said, God, when I get back on that platform, they're going to know who I serve without a shadow of a doubt. This ain't for only me. This is for the Living Saving Ministries. If you part of this church, this medal for you as well. Because y'all prayed for me in faith.
Amen.
I remember somebody told me, they said, man, we prayed for you at 4 o'clock. And I know y'all prayed in faith.
Amen.
And you see how God showed up for not just me, but for the church.
Amen.
This is a victory for the church. So hopefully I'll be picked for the world team and I'll be going to Mongolia in October. And they need Jesus just as much as we do here in the United States. And they going to know who I serve when I go over there.
Amen.
So I'm grateful to be part of this ministry. This victory is not for me. Like I said, this is for Pastor Thurman, Miss Cheryl, the staff, all the people that are involved. I love my church because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. God bless. And thank y'all for y'all support.
Amen. Thank you, man. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, I was thinking about that a while ago when he got up to set the chair. I thought, I wonder if there's another pastor anywhere in the world that's got a national championship weightlifter putting his chair out there for him to sit on. I thought, I bet you that's the first and only time that's ever happened. You know that? Wow. Thank you, Baron. Praise the Lord. That was great. Okay. Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you to all of you men and women that went to battle for all of us so that all of us can be here today.
Amen.
Yeah, so if you were a man or a woman and you've been in the military or you're still in the military, I want you to stand up. If you're a military man or woman, stand up. Amen, amen, amen. We appreciate what you've done for us. Praise the Lord, all of us. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We are so grateful that you went to battle and fought the battles. The war that I was in was the Vietnam War. I came back from over there in 65. It's amazing. I had several of my good friends that I went to high school with that didn't come back. They got killed in Vietnam. But anyway, on this earth, we all got to die somewhere, somehow, some way. So just make sure that you're ready so that when the day comes for you to go wherever you're going to go, make sure you go to heaven to go with Jesus. That's the only thing I can say. Make sure that you love Jesus. Now then, what we're going to do here now, as we always do, we pray for those that need to be prayed for, and we do this one-on-one. So I've got prayer teams. I want my prayer teams to stand up so you see who the prayer teams are. So you select one of these prayer teams, or Dave or whatever. Sharon's not here today. But anyway, I want you to get one of these people. If you have a need, whatever it is, we pray in faith here, and we want you to be prayed for. And if you came and you need a healing, you pray and let somebody pray with you, believing with no doubt in their heart. And then you'll wind up just like the little lady that came up here a while ago. She got healed this week, didn't she? Wow, thank you, Jesus. Got a brand new heart. Isn't that amazing? Nothing wrong with her heart.
She got a new heart.
Got a new heart. What can God do, ladies and gentlemen?
Anything
you can believe him for. So okay. So anyway, these are the prayer warriors. And if you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a gray box over there on the wall. Put your donation in that. We'd appreciate it. We'll use it for the glory of God. If you need the CDs and DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you want. We don't put a limit on nothing. Everything's free, and then go use them for the glory of God. Okay? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everybody's here today. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you, Lord, for using us for your glory. We thank you for all these men and women that are in the military. And we thank you for using us all for your glory. Now, Lord, use us this week to do great things for the kingdom of God. And may you bless each and every one of us in a mighty way this week as we go about your business. May we produce lots of good fruit for the kingdom of God. May we be about your business. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Praise the Lord.